Friday the 27th of August, Yud Zayin Elul, Rabbi Joseph Freilich, the importance of Simcha and how to achieve it.
This week's Zeder opens up with the Inyan of Bikurim. And the Torah says that when a person brings Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so as he's bringing his first fruits in his basket, then he comes to the Kohen and he's got to make a whole speech. And these four psukim, which we know very well from the Haggadah, these four psukim sums up the entire going down to Mitzrayim and coming up from Mitzrayim. One possibly went down to Mitzrayim, became a great nation, by Yereya Sonahaum. Much we suffer there, and it's not how much we cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he listened to us, and finally, when we say these sukim, then, of course, the purpose of Bikurim, as is fairly obvious, is the inin of a Koras HaToiv. We've got our first fruits. The first thing we have to do before we taste them ourselves is to be makir toiv, to recognize where this comes from. It's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to feel that sense of gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, Koras HaToiv doesn't mean gratitude in the sense of I'm grateful to you, so I've got to give you a present. It doesn't go as far as that. Koras HaToiv means I've got to be makir, that I've had some goodness. And that's a very, very important midah, that I've got to be makir, I've got to realize in my own mind that this has come, hasn't come from just come from the tree by itself, it just doesn't grow just like that, it all comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then I think further, not only have I had the fruit from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's given me the land, I've got my little plot of land on which I can grow my fruits, on which I can grow my future parnosa, and then Baruch Hashem has given us all the land. And then how did we God get the land? He took us out of Mitzrayim and he gave us the land. So we go through all these psukim saying how much we have to be grateful for. If a person is not grateful, a person just thinks, you know, that's how it is, that's a very foolish attitude. It's like immature, it's like a little child comes home from school every day, there's a meal, nice hot meal on the table. How is this hot meal? It's a hot meal, that's how it is when you come home from school, that somehow that's how tables are. They grow, a hot meal grows out of the table at this time in the afternoon. Yeah. A child has got to learn to be aware that, listen, how did this hot meal come? Your mother had to make it, she had to cook it and prepare it, she had to go to the shops to buy it, your father had to work to earn the money for it. Think back on everything that you have to be grateful for. Otherwise, you're just a very foolish little child and you haven't matured. Chazan Lev said to me the other day, said, if a person is not grateful, he's a great fool. So, this is what we have to say, and we make this whole speech, and we put down the Bikurim by the Mizbeach. We've got to bow down, which is our way of saying thank you. It's Hadoah, Nachtu Koyrim, Vishtachavim, Moidim, Lefnei Melech Malchim Lochim. We say our daughter, Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we leave it there, and that's it, and we can go home. We think that's the end of the mitzvah of Bikurim, we fulfill the mitzvah of Bikurim. But there's one pasuk more that people often miss out, and that is, Ishtachavisa lefnei Hashem lekecho, v'somachto v'chol hatoy v'shanosil chol Hashem lekecho v'levei secho. That you've got to be happy. There's a mitzvah now to be happy. It's not enough to bring the Bikurim. And okay, I've had a Bikurim. It's very good. This year has been a good crop. You actually have to eke out positive simcha. This is something positive. It's very nice to be thankful. But just to be thankful alone and have been makitoy, yeah, I've had goodness, yeah, Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu has given it to me. But I've got to be the simcha. Ah! Baruch Hashem, look at these fruit, look at this basket, look at the beautiful grapes and the figs and the thing. Look how much I've got, a whole basket full, and I've got the main lot, I've got a home sale. Ah, Baruch Hashem, you have to eke out an actual, this emotion of happiness. We've got to learn to develop that, and he's got to be jumping up and down with happiness. Ah, the samachto, I'm a happy person, and once you feel that I'm happy, then you've got to extend that. I'm not just happy with these fruits, but I'm happy with all the other things that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given me as well. That's the samachto bechol ha'toyves shanosin. I'm someone in Pesukim. I'm not saying any kedushin. You've got to be happy with everything that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. So you think that Baruch Hashem is giving me health, he's giving me ability to eat these wonderful fruits, he's giving me the ability to digest it. I've got a lovely family around me. I've got a Dira Noe, Isha Noe, Kalim Noe. Think of all the things we've got. Think of all the good things which the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. And we've got to derive positive simcha from it. This is what we always say, sort of, mitzvah gedoyle liyas besimcha tomid, is a song that we sing, mitzvah gedoyle. Often wonder, you know, where does this come from? Where is this actual mitzvah? I don't think it's nimna in the tag, but where is it? I think it must come from here. The pasuk says, v'samachta b'chol ha'toiv, asher nasi l'cho, Hashem elokecho. And I once read that the Hebrew language has got more synonyms for simcha than any other language. I haven't checked it, I don't know all languages, but that's what I read, that we've got all so many words, sosna, simcha, gilo, rino, dito, hebo, alizo. As a whole, it sort of shows that a yid, we are sort of meant to be naturally disposed towards happiness, although we've suffered more than any other nation. But somehow we have the simcha tomid that despite our suffering, we manage to try to eke out the happiness. And we feel, you know, even Jewish humor in the drabbest of times, the Jew has learned to make a joke and to smile and to be happy. They used to say in times when there were gezeiras, every day new gezeiras came upon Yid, and every day came worse and worse. And Yid met his friend and said, "Nu Yankel, you know, how are things with you?" There's, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, better." "Better?" "Yes! Not as good as yesterday, of course, but better than tomorrow." So, you know, we feel this sense of happiness, you know, and we feel, you know, we even look around and the whole of nature is meant to be happy as well. We say that our tefillah is Yismachu Hashemayim V'Sogei L'Oretz Yiram Hayam Melaya Yalos Asad V'Chol Hashaboy. The trees, the sea, the hills are jumping, everybody's jumping, the whole of nature is happy. And so this is the idea that we have this important, it plays such an important role in Yiddishkeit. And we have whole times when we've got Zman Simcha Seinu, which we're coming up to whole times when we are dedicated, it's a Zman Simcha Seinu, the Simcha space of She'evo, the base of Migdash Mishal Aro, Simcha's base is She'evel Aro, Simcha B'yomov. And even Rosh Hashanah, which is coming up, which is a serious time, it's not a fun and game, but we're still supposed to be happy. All this foreign stay, we should have Simcha, we should have we should have confidence that the Rosh Hashanah will give us, will grant us, a Kesiv of Rasim at Hoiva. And it even says in Sukkim that you should go home and eat a nice meal. Rosh Hashanah is not meant to be a dreary time, a time of, it's meant to be serious introspection. And even Yom Kippur, when we don't eat anything, it's not, you know, I remember once a goy saying to me, I met a goy the day after Yom Kippur, he says, "Oh, yesterday was your big black fast, wasn't it?" I said, "No, not at all." He says, "It was our big white fast." And this is true, that, you know, people often confuse Yom Kippur with Tisha B'Av. We do have Tisha B'Av is one day in the year when it's earmarked, you know, for sadness. And, you know, we sit on the floor, we don't greet anybody. But Yom Kippur, there's no availus on Yom Kippur. We don't sit on the floor, you know, we greet people, we say good yontif, we wear our yontif clothes. It's a day, I find Yom Kippur actually a very, very happy day. There's no sadness in it, it's a serious day. We've got to sit, we've got to meditate, we've got to clear our past, make our resolutions for the future, think about where we are in life, but it's not sad. And at the end of it, you know, you can really be happy. I remember when I was a young bocher, came the first time to yeshiva, and I'd never been in yeshiva. I came from Ireland, I didn't know, no idea, you know, Yom Kippur, just day of fasting. And I came all day, we were davening in Yom Kippur, and at the end when it finished, I thought, now the bocher, I'm going to rush down to the dining room and going to have something to eat. And I was amazed, you know. What did the bocher do? They all drunk, they made a big rakida, and they were singing, and they were dancing. And I joined in the dancing, and I felt how wonderful it is. you're feeling Motzi Yom Kippur, you've cleared yourself, you've had a good bath, you've washed it all away, and you're ready now for the future, you know, you have a tremendous inner simcha, and that is even Yom Kippur gives you that inner simcha. It also comes a month like Adar, we say the whole of Adar, Mishenichnas Adar, Marvim B'Simcha, and Rashi says in Tanis that not only Adar, but even carries on to Nissan, it's also a Chodesh Gula, carries on right till the end of Nissan. We've got 2 months of really major Simcha. Okay, Tisha B'Av, we have to have, after all, sad things have happened to our people, and we have to have a certain period of sadness when we empathize with the suffering of our people, Churban, and all the subsequent suffering since then. But we don't make a major, you know, it's just a few days. You know, the whole thing is only 10 days. The Simcha is for 2 months. But after Tisha B'Av, we already start to get happy again. Chamish Asar B'Av, special big Simcha. So we keep our sadness to a minimum. And even a Rebbe once said, when you say B'Shenichnas Av, Mematim B'Simcha, he says, you've got to reduce your Simcha a little bit. You don't cut it out all, you've always got to be happy. But during the B'Shenichnas Av, you've got to be Memat B'Simcha, you've got to reduce it a little bit. But the overlying Simcha has always got to be there, the underlying Simcha. So the basic stuff is, we've got Simcha. Okay, sometimes it's a big Simcha, sometimes it's a lesser Simcha, but always we've got to be, this Elias B'Simcha Tomid, the Tomidus of the Simcha, should never go away. And that's a very important lesson, because sometimes in life one does have sorrows, one has worries, and one has things. But even when you go through a period of worries or a period of sorrow, but one shouldn't become oblivious to all the Simcha that is there. I mean, you know, you can lose sight of, okay, I've got this thing that hasn't gone the way I wanted to, and then it's I've got some problems in. But okay, you've got problems, but look, Baruch Hashem, look what you've got. Don't lose complete sight of all the goodness which you've got. You know, this is something very, very important. And, you know, if you can remember the bigger picture, remember the big world, you know, this is Baruch Hashem, you've got, okay, now we're going through a difficult period or a sad period, at times, and we have to be in a veil or something, that's all part of it, but the underlying simcha, there is a basic simcha which is meant to be there, Tommy. I remember once the chief rabbi once pointed out, I don't know, he didn't give any significance to this, but just an interesting fact, he says, if you look through the Torah, you can look through the whole Sefer Bereishis, and the word Simcha is mentioned only once in the whole of Sefer Bereishis. And you'd have a job to find it, you probably wouldn't even think about it. In the whole of Sefer Shemois, Simcha is mentioned only once. Vayikro, once. Vamidbar, only once. And in Sefer Devarim, it's mentioned 12 times, you've got mentioned Simcha. Now it's a very interesting observation. I mean, he said at a time when he had a Simcha and Oifel for his son, he said, well, it was in the middle of Sefer Devarim. So it fitted in with his speech. But, you know, I was thinking, Tak, you know, what is the significance of that? And I think maybe, I mean, you can have perhaps have your own ideas. If you've got any ideas, you can let me know. But maybe it is that now when Moshe Rabbeinu has taken leave of Klal Yisrael in Sefer Devarim, where he's finished off giving them the last few of the Tariyat Mitzvahs. So now, you might think, listen, I've given you 613 mitzvahs, things you've got to do, and things that you daren't do. So it's all very, being a Yid is a very serious business, and a very, you know, you feel a sort of it's a burden, it's a depressive, it's all these commands that we have to do. And no, it's not true. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, there's simcha at all times, you have to have simcha. And when you do the mitzvahs, you're meant to do them with simcha, that's a proper way to do them. You're meant, the Torah is not meant to get you down. There's a famous, the Avni Nezer says, and Hagdomah people know this, he says that people often think that when you learn Torah, if you're enjoying the Torah, you're learning something and it's geshmak, and you're really enjoying it, that somehow takes away a little bit of the lishma of the limit Torah, you don't get sort of big sad. Of course, you're enjoying it. He says it's absolutely not true. The simcha of Torah is part of Torah. If you learn Torah and you don't enjoy it, you do it with a umidika will, you know, then that's not the way, that you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah properly. The proper way is to learn about simcha. You're meant to have simcha and to have the shmach in it. That's the real way to learn Torah. And we've done this every morning when we say it in the Birkas HaTorah, you know, and we say, V'had ev no Hashem elokeinu zdivrei Torah, please, the Bon Shalom, make the words of Torah sweet in our mouth. we want to be able to do it, we should have a geschmack in the Torah. And that is sort of so important for us, that we have this geschmack. And especially if we want to pass it on to our children, I always say, you know, children, they like to see what the parents are doing, and they emulate the parent. The parent is playing, enjoys playing golf, and you know, and he's got a new golf club, and he's thinking, ooh, you know, can I come with you? Can I have a go? Can I? He wants to do what his parents are doing. That's a natural feeling. But there's only one condition. It's if he sees the parent enjoying it. If it's a burden to him, you know, somebody's got to bring home work from the office, and he's got to do it, and it's a bloody, you know. He wants to, oh, show me how to do that. No, no, it's boring, it's not. It's the things that he sees the father is enjoying doing it. Oh, show me how to do it, let me have a share in it. So if a child sees that the father comes home, and he opens a sefer, and he's got simcha, his eyes light up, he's got simcha when he's learning, then the child will want to learn as well. And that's what we say, V'harev no'ashem ha'kid is divin ha'sot b'finu, then when niya nachlu mitzet so'enu, then we and our children will also learn. It's only if it's sweet in our mouth, then our children will also want to do it, and they'll be interested to learn. I say, I can't be the only one in town. If I'm living in a town and I'm the only person who's learning Torah, and my children are the only ones that they won't have much patience. You have to have peers, you have to have people around you, so we demand that other people around us should also be learning Torah and have simcha, and that their children should have simcha, so that my children have chaved, and that is atmosphere. So v'hara no shavakein is divrei shalom v'finu v'fi amcho beis Yisrael, and then v'niya nachlu v'tzetzo'enu v'tzetzo'e amcho beis, all their children should also be happy, and they should be learning Torah lishmo, and then, you know, we can progress in that way. So we see the importance of simcha. Now, how do we achieve this? That's part of what it says on the paper. How do we achieve simcha? This is a big $1,000 question. How do we achieve it? Well, the first place is we've got to try to avoid sources of unhappiness. I mean, sometimes as I say, people are stuck with tragedies, sometimes people are overwhelmed with sorrows, and you know, one would need to be in a very high madrega to be even at such times, so to have simcha, you know. I'm not big enough to be able to advise on that. You really need a person, a really very high madrega. But there are only sources in everyday life, there are all sorts of sources of unhappiness which we can deal with and which we can avoid, and we've got it in our power to avoid it. One example is caste, anger. For some people, they have a sort of unnatural disposition to be angry. That's sort of their thing, you know, they're always a this doesn't go, that doesn't go, they're angry with everybody in the world, and they're upset with themselves as well. Everything, you know, goes in the and they get, you know, they're never, they can see it on their, after time you can see it on their face, so their face goes, they've got sort of a scowl, and they walk around with a scowl on their face, you know. I mean, some people are scowl because never they've got big sorrow, but some people, it's just, it's a habit, they've grown up like that, maybe in their parents' home, that everything's going, you know, and if you don't, you know, so your child grows up. But you've got to learn, you know, don't get angry about everything. It's just not worth it. And there's no point going around having kindness to everybody and to be annoyed by every little thing. And you know, if you get annoyed, you'll get double punishment for everything. You know, you go to the station and you miss the train by 5 minutes. You miss the train and the next train is only going to be another hour time. And you walk up and down in front, I missed the train, what a stupidity, I should have left earlier, and that fellow was kept me on the phone, and he's always talking to me on the phone, and you're fretting, and you're getting atmosphere, and you're walking up and down, and you're getting, so you've been doubly punished. Not only you've missed the train, that's one trouble, but you have the whole hour of atmosphere, you know, so, you know, why punish yourself twice, you know, you should say, listen, I've missed the train, shine, it's bad enough, you know, I've missed the train, but I'm not going to get myself angry over it, you know. It's not worth it. No? I'm not going to get emotional about it. I can think about it in a logical way, and think I can learn a lesson. Listen, I should know at this time of the day there's a lot of traffic on the road. Next time I'll have to leave more time. Right? I'm saying, you can learn the lessons, you know, but you can do that intellectually, and not emotionally. Don't let it go into your kishkes. You know, that's not, it is no good about it. That's not good. And the even what people do to us, and you know, we get very angry. I once came across a little piece in the Rambam, which I thought was very, 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 very interesting. He talks about Nekoma, it's the very end of Hilchas Deis, Halacha Zayin, the last Perek. And he says, Hanochim Achaveira Oiva Beloisa, say, you mustn't take Nekoma on people that have done something. He says, the day of Rohi, it's a very bad midah to want to avenge the Kasev of Yanim. And he says these following words, just two lines. Elo roi loi la'odom li'os ma'vi al-midoiso. A person must learn to overcome his natural feelings and should be ma'vi al-midoiso al-kol divrei oilam, about all matters of this world. Sheha koil eitzil ha'mavinim divrei hevel v'havoi v'einam kedai linkam aleim. Because to the mavinim, if you really understand properly, if you're an intelligent person and you've got a proper grip on this world, then you realize there's nothing in the whole of this world that's so big that it's worthwhile getting so angry about and getting so cast and want to take the comma. It's just, there's nothing. You have to be one of the Mavinim and you'll be protected from all that. I always remember when we were children, but young, and I had my little three-year-old, we were at the seaside, my little three-year-old, you know, he made a sandcastle, and he was very careful to make it very nice, put a little flag, and took a lot of trouble over it, and then his two-year-old brother, little one, you know, he's just walking along, he doesn't know what he's doing, he stepped on the sandcastle, and the old one got so angry, look what you've done, you've ruined my sandcastle, took such a trouble over there, his spade, he whacked him with his spade, he was shouting at him, look what you've done. And you know, I was watching this, I saw, my goodness me, such a lot of fury, you know, over what? Over a sandcastle. I mean, it's just a sandcastle. What is it? It's just a sandcastle. If you want, you can make another one, you know. And then even if you had a sandcastle, how long would you have it? I mean, we're going home in a half an hour time. You're not staying here forever, you know. So we're going home. It's only a limited amount of time, everything. So when you grow up and you're older and you think to yourself, whatever it is, you know, somebody's done something, somebody's annoyed me, somebody, what is it? It's a sandcastle. Everything in this world. That's what the Rambam is saying. Hakoil eitzim avin divrei hevel v'havoi. It's all the one pertaining matters of this world are not more than a sandcastle, and it's not forever. It's only for a limited time. In any case, you know. So what? It's just not worth, you know, getting that excited about. So if we can learn to cope with that, no matter how we've been brought up, I don't think it's in the genes that you're angry. Maybe some people are disposed to this. But, you know, we can learn to overcome it, and you can develop a happy disposition and have a smile on your face and everything. Okay, shine, you know, it's not worth getting angry about. Yeah? Another source of Admas Nefesh that many people have is, I don't like to use the word jealousy, but that's what I mean. Some people always sort of feel that they need things because other people have got it. I haven't got it. I haven't got it. No, he's got the anything. And so they make themselves ill over. They've got Atmos Nefesh because they haven't got it. And, you know, it's the media and the advertising. I remember once reading one of the big car companies in America. I think it was a Chrysler company. You know, they're so wicked, you know. They commissioned somebody, a firm that makes mailing lists, and they commissioned them to make a mailing list of all the neighbours of people who had bought a new Chrysler in the last 3 months. And the chutzpah, you know, and they wrote letters to them all, you know, have you seen your neighbour, don't you feel a big chimp, you know, no, something to that effect, you know, driving your old Bangham, you see a beauty, you know, for, you know, we can very easily come to us, we can show you how you can easily afford it, not come anywhere, you know, and the neighbour knows, perfectly happy with this car till now, but now he gets his letter and he's got Chrysler, it's got this and that, air conditioning, and you know, I haven't got this and I haven't got that, and he makes himself misery, you know. Till now he's been a happy person, but the adverts, you know, I mean, they're there, the purpose of the adverts are to make you unhappy. If everybody's happy, nobody would buy anything, so we've got to make you unhappy and dissatisfied, but we've got to be clever in that, and we mustn't succumb to this. We can say, this is, Lord, my neighbour's got it, Gesundheit, you know, ich vergine ihnen, you know, I'm happy for him, I'm happy he's got a loving new car, Baruch Hashem, I'm really, you know, there's no English word for zufigin jenem. It's a funny thing, I've looked for it, there isn't anywhere, it doesn't exist, that concept, zufigin jenem, well, he's got it, why should he have it and not me? The country, you've got a negative word to begrudge somebody. You begrudge somebody, he's got some success, or he's achieved something, or he's got something, and I haven't got it, you know, I begrudge it. Learn to forgive yenem. Listen, Baruch Hashem, I've got what I've got, and I don't need anymore. And I think, so he's got a thing that I'm happy for him, that he's got it, and I don't need it. But the peer pressure, you know, you get it, especially, you know, with children, you know, it's very, I think in some countries they've banned advertising that targets children. That's really unfair, because they're victims, they're helpless in this, and it puts terrible pressure on the parents, got to buy this one, everybody in the school has got this, you know, you must buy it. So, this, you know, people get unhappy with they haven't got it, and they can't afford it, so they go around being unhappy. I remember one of my grandchildren in America, his name is Mordechai Yehuda Rosenbaum, my daughter's son. And in school, you know, the other children, they were all into designer shirts, you know, with designer labels and all this, you know, Ralph Lauren and all this sort of thing. And he's a very sensible fellow. He said, listen, I don't need it. I'm perfectly happy with my shirt. I don't need a shirt with a label with Ralph Lauren. What do I need it for? And, you know, they used to make toys of him, and they, you know, they used to tease him. I mean, he was a very good boy, but he was a fun boy. But, you know, he didn't cave in with this peer pressure. And I remember one day, one of the children said to him, said, Mordechai Yehuda, when are we going to see you wearing a Ralph Lauren shirt? And he said, I'll tell you when. Is the day that Ralph Lauren will wear a shirt with a label which says Mordechai Yehuda Rosenbaum, right? And I wear a shirt which says Ralph Lauren on it. And I was, you know, really made me happy. I thought, good for him, you know, he can stand up to it. He's not caved in by it. He doesn't feel he's a Nebuch. He doesn't feel, listen, Nebuch, you know, I can't have this shirt, you know, I can't afford it, I don't want to pester my parents to buy it for me, they've got hard enough time as it is, you know, things in here, why should I pester them, I want to be a tzaddi, I want to be mistapik b'mut. No, he doesn't have that feeling at all. He's, I don't need it, who needs it, brother? Who needs that label, you know, Ralph Lauren doesn't need a label with my name, so why should I need it, you know, I don't need it, and he's perfectly happy, and I'm not missing anything. So, this is one of the ways to avoid simcha, to avoid unhappiness. No, it's really gets me. I remember one day I was coming into Hagar's, and a young man, he wasn't so young, you know, he came to me, and I remember he said to me, he saw me, he says, Rabbi Friedrich, give me a brocha. I thought, you know, I thought he's making some joke, you know, or do you think I am sort of on the quiet in my spare time, I'm some rebbe giving out brochures. And, you know, I was just about to make some humorous remark, but I saw he was really very serious, please give me a brocha. I thought, watch, you know, be careful, you know, this might be, it's got some, you know, don't start making funny jokes and putting your foot in it. So I said, what do you need a brocha? Is everybody all right? Is there somebody not well? No, Baruch Hashem, you know, everybody's well and everything. So, you know, what do you need a brocha for? He says, you know, I need to do a good deal, you know. And, you know, my chavrusa, you know, yesterday, he did one deal for 2.5 million, you know. And, you know, I do this, you know, I do little deals, you know, there's 300,000 there and 500,000 there. Shmecky deals, you know, I need to do, you know, please, Rabbi Frank, give me, you know, some a brocha. And I knew this person, you know, he lived in a very nice house up near the heath, and then Baruch Hashem was okay, but he says, you know, I can't only shmecky that, please give me a brocha, you know, that thing. You know, so I said, Rabbi Shalom, yes, and Rabbi Shalom should give you what you need. You know, and he was very happy, you know. I had in mind, he should give you a bit of seichel. So, you know, I mean, this person, I remember looking in his face, and I thought, Nebuch, this person, you know, he's a pauper. You know, with all that he's got, he's an armor man. If he feeds that way, that he's because his chavrusa did it, so he's unhappy, you know. This is ridiculous, you know. Because you look at other people, you know, who've got much less than you, they say, the word is say, Vashmani man van oris mitochas. In heavenly matters, In Ruchni Sipping, we should always look to the people above us. Look at him, he's davening with such nice kavana. He learns with such vikas smod. He's got more again. Look at him. And in earthly matters, look at the people below you. Listen, Baruch Hashem, about other people have got much less than me. So this is, you know, how we've got to sort of look at it. There's such a lot more to say on this subject. You know, when Dudi asked me to speak, you know, I thought I'd speak a bit about Simcha, but there's an enormous amount. I mean, we haven't even started to speak about positive happiness. We've just spoken about how to remove unhappiness. When you've removed unhappiness, you can still be in a neutral state, that you feel, you know, you're okay, you know, you're satisfied, and you know, things are alright, you know, but you're not really emotionally feeling, Baruch Hashem, happy, and that's also not enough. You've been with some machto, the Chol Hashem, not the Chol Hashem, the kettle. You've got to really feel that sense of simcha. You get people, you know, sometimes you ask people, you know, who are really well off and they've got every reason to be happy. Often the people who've got the most reason to be happy are the people who are least happy. You know, ask, you know, how's life with you? You know, yeah, it's all right. You know, how are things? Yeah, okay. Okay? All right? Is that all it is? You know, you should be excited. Baruch Hashem, it's for simcha. And then when we have this simcha, then of course, that is meant to lead us. Maybe some other time we will talk about our Bible, how to achieve positive simcha, right? But that simcha is meant to lead us then to a great Ahavas Hashem, love of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to avoid us Hashem, to really serve Him properly with all our feelings and to do mitzvahs with simcha. I remember once from the Chief Rabbi, he said, "Inros Hashem b'simcha," he translated it, "Serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu even when you're in simcha." Says when people are in sorrows, everybody, you come, you run around, you daven, and you say Tehillim, and you give tzedakah, everybody comes close to Kodesh Baruch Hu when you're in trouble. But when you're happy and everything's fine, then it's much, much harder. It's a much more difficult thing. You're wealthy and you're healthy and everything is going well for you. It's very, very hard sometimes to really feel that you're on the Seva Kodesh, to feel close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So to some people, even their what they have, all the blessings that they have, instead of leading them to avoid Hashem, it can lead them away, and it distances them from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I think that is what we say in the Seder, with this sort of, I'll finish, that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees that he's given us so much blessing, and through that, on the contrary, we don't even do proper avoid Hashem, so he feels, well, it's too hard for him to do avoid Hashem, when everything is going well for him, I better give him some sorrows, I better take away thing, and then, you know, that will help him, you know, and then he'll be able to do Avodas Hashem. And that's what we say in the Tachocha, Tachas Hashem, Avaritos Hashem, and the Kech B'Simcha. We think, you know, it's sort of a Tachocha, it's a sad thing, but in a way, it's a good thing. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, Tachas Hashem, Avaritos Hashem, and the Kech B'Simcha, I gave you a chance to serve me B'Simcha, I try this way, you know, but you didn't do it when you were Simcha, and you had such an abundance of simcha, meroif koil, yeah, because you had so much, that's why it had the opposite effect on you. So therefore, the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings the klala on you, and that is in order to help you. So let's hope that we've learned sort of how to avoid unhappiness, and you get, hopefully next time we'll talk about positive simcha, and we should use this lavoidus aboire, and for that we should be zoicha to receive a chesima toiva, and it should be a good year, lebrocha v'loy leklolo, and then we shall all have a chesima.